We're joined here in studio by our friend Sean Latch from the Verson Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Welcome, Sean.
Great to be back.
Time passes quickly. It feels like you were just here.
I know. It really does. It's hard to believe that November is, you know, almost in the bag. Yeah. Only one more day left.
It's that time of year. They seem to go by.
They really do. They really do, yeah.
Well, as we roll into the month of December, a lot of cool things going on. Let's talk about some of the programs coming up. I want to make sure I pronounce this right. Mexica Archaeastronomy, is that right?
Yeah. So that program takes a look at, of course, some of the astronomy that was done in pre-Columbian times in Mexico, and really looking at even before the Mayans. So looking at things like Teotihuacan and some of the monuments that were pre-Mayan even in and the way they used the sky to do those alignments and build those monuments and how it was important to them in terms of, you know, sort of setting up their lives, their agriculture, and even some of their cities in terms of their alignments. Pretty cool.
Well, it's remarkable what they were able to do and what we think of as more primitive times, but we've learned that that's really not the case.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of folks from that time period, you often think, oh, well, they didn't know all the stuff we know today. Well, maybe not, but their pace of life was slower. They could watch things and be very keen observers of what was going on and were able to use that knowledge in a variety of ways. We wouldn't have calendars and timekeeping without a lot of these different, you know, societies and their watching of the sky over time.
What is the family show for this month?
Of course, we do hearken back to the mystery of the Christmas star, one of our annual programs at this time of year, taking a look at what the Christmas star may have been from a scientific and historical point of view, and taking a good look at that, which is a kind of a fun thing.
And music, of course, for the month of December. Let It Snow.
Yeah, everything from, you know, Chuck Berry to Burl Ives to the Eurythmics to Trans-Siberian Orchestra. It's a whole mishmash of holiday music and really fun for the whole family, of course.
This looks like a really interesting show coming up on the 10th. Meditations on Perihelion.
Yeah, so that's a program that is a brand new thing. We've been working with Tom Luther, who is a musician and composer, and he's composed this whole piece around sort of, you know, the winter solstice and perihelion when, you know, in that time of the year, and then we're going to be coordinating it to a variety of full dome visuals. So it should be a lot of fun.
Well, that sounds great. Sean Latch with us from the Verson Power Astronomy Center here on downtown. Well, a lot going on up in the skies, too. Finally, we got Artemis off the ground, and it's been fascinating to watch the journey. Is it Orion, the orbiter?
Yes.
I want to make sure I get this right, has now traveled farther from the planet than any other spacecraft designed to carry humans.
Correct. Yeah. So this spacecraft, of course, you know, the plan is to send it back to the moon first off, but they did send it in a very hyper-extended orbit, if you will, to go well past the moon, because the long-term plan is they're hoping to have this gateway station sort of between the Earth and the moon, which would be a jumping off point to Mars. They want to be able to sort of explore some of that area. So this mission is what we call uncrewed. So it has a couple test mannequins on board there collecting information about radiation levels and a whole variety of other factors that will impact astronauts. But it's really made an incredible mission, and it'll be splashing down here a couple weeks from now or so. So they'll be gathering all that data and then being able to use it to plan for future ones. And then Artemis 2 will sort of be a somewhat of a repeat of Apollo 8. It will orbit the moon, and then finally Artemis 3 will land.
Now, when do we find out if Maine's Jessica Meir will be on that first crew to the moon?
We are all waiting on that. So, yeah, it is one of those things. NASA's very tight-lipped about it. All they'll say is that she's been selected for, you know, one of the missions. But that's as far as they went. And they haven't really let anyone out of the bag who's going to be on that first mission yet. So we'll have to wait and see. So I'm still keeping fingers crossed that she's on 3 and not 2, because 2, again, is just going to orbit the moon. Now, that's lovely, too. Don't get me wrong. But I'd rather have her on 3, where she gets to land and, you know, be the first Mainer on the moon and the first woman on the moon, I think would be wonderful.
I'm trying to recall which astronaut it was, whether it was maybe Jim Lovell, I'm not sure, that went to the moon twice but never landed. I think there's only one astronaut.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, where he orbited. Yeah,
right.
Yep. Yeah, that's one of those things. Yeah, so I know that's even with Michael Collins, you know, people would say, oh, well, you know, on the first crew but didn't get to land, you know, and stayed in orbit. But that was an important job as well.
So. Well, yeah, a lot closer than you and I'll get.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
I watched last night because our friend Alan Adams was talking about it yesterday, the wonderful documentary Good Night, Oppie. Have you seen that yet?
Yes. Yeah. In fact, my wife and I just watched that last weekend, I believe it was. And it, really amazing. Of course, it really puts the human touch to those missions to Mars, which are really important. And really the precursors. We did the same thing with the moon. We sent all these precursor missions initially to get an idea of the conditions, how things would, you know, work out, and to plan for, you know, for human missions. So I think that's one of the big things that, you know, and when you really look at that, how much longer they were designed to last 90 Martian days,
right,
15 years, you know, really amazing how much, you know, the engineering really just kept going, you know, like the Energizer Bunny in some ways, just kept going and going and going.
Well, it's such a tribute to the technology, too, that I think they referred to Opportunities landing as a hole-in-one from, you know, whatever it is, several million miles away, that it landed right smack dab in the middle of that crater.
Yeah, it was really amazing. I mean, the getting the spacecraft there, and then, of course, when you saw, I remember watching them land originally, and, you know, this whole idea of, you know, it would come down and then it would inflate this thing that looked like a beach ball, drop it to the surface, it would bounce, and they even were able to count, you know, using some of the orbiters, count the number of bounces it made, and then, you know, to slowly unfold. But really amazing, you know, to get that spacecraft that far and that kind of technology. And it's even, you know, they've really been sort of sticking these landings, if you will, you know, even with the recent, you know, Ingenuity missions and things like that.
Well, it's a tribute too to just how many people are involved in making any of these missions work, that you know, we see, even if we see the people in mission control, there are so many hundreds of other people that contribute to the success of any mission.
Yeah, all the engineering that goes into these things, and, you know, science operations, it's really a huge, you know, network of people to make these missions work and be so successful.
What else can we see up in the skies in the month of December? What's out there for planetary viewing opportunities?
So December is actually the perfect month for planets, because starting around the 9th or 10th, you'll have a chance to see all five planets in the night sky right away. So right now, as soon as you go outside, you've got Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn all sort of in our sky currently. But around the 9th of December, so 8th, 9th, start to look at sunset over in the east, and we're going to gain Mercury and Venus back. And so, because they've been sort of behind the sun from our vantage point, but they're going to start to reemerge around that time. And really all the way through the end of December, so basically through the, say, the 9th or 10th of December, all the way to the end of the month, you're going to have a chance to see all five planets right away after sunset. On the 28th of December in particular, Mercury and Venus are going to be about a degree and a half apart, so about three full moon widths, if you will, apart, but very close together in the sky. And Venus, of course, is, you know, the third brightest thing we see in our sky after the sun and moon, and so very easy to see. But Mercury, we often call it the elusive planet. It's tough because it is fainter and it never gets very high above our horizon.
Right.
But again, it'll be a really good time to catch it with Venus there on the 28th in particular. But really have that last, you know, probably 20 days in the month to really catch all these planets in the night sky, all in a nice line. There's also the Geminid meteor shower peaks on the 14th of the month, so a great chance to catch some meteors as well in your morning sky, too. So a bunch of fun things to get out there and see.
We'll look forward to all of that. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks, Sean. Good to see you again.
Great to see you.
Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. You can visit their website for more information as well.